Amen.
I appreciate having some music to get up here to. It is always so very nice to see your smiling faces on Sunday morning. It is also a privilege for me to be able to stand here and share with you the Word of God, what God has impressed on my heart for this particular day, for this particular audience of listeners. Both here physically in this location and those that are going to hear my voice through the social media we offer. But also, what a privilege that we can be divinely connected in one body. Not just in this local physical church building, but divinely connected to the body of Christ around the world. As they get together this morning, those that are on that time zone and many others that have already had service and long gone to bed. But we do connect through the Holy Spirit in one divine community that is called upon Jesus Christ to go and impact the world. And today is our last series of the six sermons that we have been presenting to you, both Pastor Eleni and myself, on experience God, connect to others, and impact the world. And I want to tell you that you are a vital part of all three components, but especially important, vital part in the impacting the world as part of the divinely connected community. So for those of you that have not been through the whole six sermons we've done, they're all available online. Pretty much all of them are also available for you to watch on YouTube. Please catch up on that. Because we've been talking about experience God, and as we have experienced God, as we have submitted to His Lordship in our lives, and as we have begun to follow Christ, then the Holy Spirit has taken us and supernaturally connected us into a body of believers, a faith community that gets together, gets re-energized, gets to experience the presence of God together, but also gets to be sent to find others that are still out there, lost with many questions and no answers. This is what we talked last time, that your story does not end with the fact that because you were lost and now you are found, you can sit around the feet of Jesus and do nothing. This is not the end of the story. It is the beginning of your life's journey as a new creation. You once were lost. You are found by Jesus Christ. And as a found, vital, irreplaceable part of the body of Christ. You and you and you and you and you and I and we together have been sent to find the lost. So being this, the last series of Experience Connected Impact, and being the second part of Impact the World, this is how I entitled my sermon today. Gone fishing. I mean, for souls. I would appreciate if you hold on a little bit. I know the weather is quite nice. Now, I'm not a fisherman, but I don't know. Is it a good weather to fish? Can you fish in November? Okay, okay. You can go fishing right about 1 o'clock today, all right? And not before that. Stick around. Participate in the connection groups. By the way, for those of you that are new to our body, to our local body here, we do have connection groups right after the service is over. And we talk about in those connection groups, after you grab a cup of coffee and some refreshments out there in the foyer, you come back here and we have connection groups in the alcoves and upstairs. And we talk about what did you hear God say to you today through His Word. So please stick around. And after that, since the weather is nice, go fishing and practice what we just talked about. So since my title is Gone Fishing, I would let somebody else that knows a little bit more than me talk about fishing from the fishing club.
And so for those reasons, I believe the crankbait is the most versatile and fruitful lure you could possibly have. Well, that concludes this week's discussions. I want to thank everybody for coming out today. And I also want to thank our newest member, Andrew, for showing up and joining us today.
Thank you.
Okay, so does anybody have any announcements or any upcoming events or dates that we need to know about?
Oh yeah, we got the bake sale coming up on the 23rd, and we use everybody's help for that.
Also, our group potluck is coming up on the 30th, and it's going to be in the main hall. And I will be bringing my mama's famous chili.
That's right. 30th Main Hall Potluck Supper.
Also, there's a great fly fishing seminar over in Monroe this weekend. I'm going to be carpooling, so if anybody wants to go, just let me know. Tickets are $5, and the speaker is supposed to be amazing.
That's fantastic. If anybody wants to go with Rick, be sure and get with him after the meeting, all right? Anything else you can think of?
Yeah, question. What's our next fishing trip? And I have a new reel, and I'm ready to try it out.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
You know, going fishing. Okay. What about this Saturday?
Oh, it's supposed to be, like, really cold that day.
Next Saturday?
That's the day of the bake sale, and we can't miss that.
2 weeks, maybe. Like, on a Thursday, I might can take off.
I have classes, like, all day.
How about this summer?
Don't fish, like, swim south for the summer?
I gotta get my dog spayed.
Also, I'm allergic to water.
Helping my neighbor change all of his light bulbs.
Got high pollen count day.
My mom had a really bad reaction one time, and I think it runs in the family.
It's my dog's birthday. He's turning 4.
I just can't handle the sun.
Do you even have your license? Do you have your permit? Could you tell me what's the difference? I got this blue card in the mail, and I'm not sure. I think it was a boating license, but I don't have a boat, so I don't know why they sent it to me.
Has anyone here gone fishing ever? So nobody has actually ever gone fishing in a fishing group here. Thanks, guys.
It's nice meeting y'all. Good luck.
Oh, hey. We still need to elect a potluck chairman.
All right. Penny, can you go back to my Gone Fishing sign hanging on the door there? Thank you. I just think that sometimes many of us find ourselves sitting around the Crosswalk Fishing Club that we just watched. We sit around and we talk about fishing, and we explore all the lures that we need to fish, and we talk about the waters, and we read all the manual about fishing. We memorize everything that's written about fishing, yet we just haven't really dared much to step out there and go fishing. I don't know if if you have had these experiences in your lives. But I can attest to many of them have gone through several church local bodies, have gone around the world through several continents, met quite a few Christians that know the importance of going fishing for souls. And they really study the subject hard. They go to the Bible. They memorize the most important commission that Jesus had ever given. Do you know which one is that? Matthew what? Okay, and it says something about go into all the world. Okay, go into all the world. So we memorize the Great Commission, and we know what Jesus has called his disciples to do. And we are comfortable to sit right there on that couch. And then we do all kinds of things that spin around the fishing club, but not the fish. And so this morning, I thought it's appropriate, since it's the last sermon on the series of Impacting the World, that I would bring one of the most popular scriptures in the Bible. And I'd like for us to go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20, and read something that you're very familiar with. You would have heard about the characters that are talked in this scripture. And we will see what they have done with their assignment of going fishing. So do you have your Bibles ready? I'd like for those of you that have any devices that have Bibles on, or your hard-copied Bibles, to really get them out there. It is good to find scripture on your own. Take notes in the margins of your Bible. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Maybe bookmark that place. Go back to it. Look at it deeper. So that's why I'd like for all of you that have Bibles, actually, to look at your own script. Now, I have New King James Version here on that. And it says so. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. Wow. I mean, wow. When you read Matthew, in two short verses, the lives of two brothers are radically, drastically changed. And then we know from other scriptures that their lives were never the same. So Jesus, who by now has begun his public ministry, he doesn't have his 12 disciples yet. It is Jesus and few onlookers and curious people, and also those that have seen him do some miracles, walk with him, you know, on the sea of the shore of Galilee. And as he is walking, he is looking for potential followers. Jesus is looking for people he can actually trust, and not only trust in the moment, but entrust his future ministry. As Jesus is walking the Sea of Galilee shores, he is actually looking for those people that would have such impact on history that even you in 21st century of contemporary world in America would have been impacted by his followers. So Jesus has a tall order. Walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, trying to find world changers, impactors that would radically change human history, not only for first century, but for the centuries to come until he comes back again to earth. Whoa! What a tall order. But I would ask Jesus Christ, why on earth did he think that he can find reliable people in Galilee of all places? You know what a Galilee was? It was the region where no kosher thing was done. It is a mixture of Gentiles and Jews, you know. The Galilee of the Gentiles, you know. And so nothing good really. People looked at that region. It was removed from Jerusalem. It was removed from the traditional religious order. And Jesus, in his sovereignty, now we would consider that foolishness, but in his wisdom, goes not where he can find the most educated people in the world and call on them to become his disciples, but goes into the rural, everyday marketplace of a mixed establishment, basically multicultural, somewhat middle to lower economic strata, and calls upon on an insignificant trait, the fisherman. And he looks at two brothers casting nets into the sea. And he calls on those two brothers and says, follow me. Leave your nets. Leave your fisherman trade. For I have another one in mind that's going to build upon what you've already been doing, but it's going to be reimagined by me. And I will make you fishers of men. Whew. Just imagine yourself in that setting. So Jesus Christ walks today in your cubicle. And you're just working real hard and typing and going over the accounting and then trying to schedule all kinds of things for your boss. And then you're trying to really negotiate those quarreling factions that you have at work. And then you have so many deliveries to take care of. And in the middle of that, the person, Jesus Christ, walks there and says, whatever you've done so far is okay, but it has a temporal focus with not much eternal value at all. So what I'm going to tell you to do is, if you follow me, you close business as usual. You shut down what you've been doing so far completely and totally. Close it and allow me to reimagine it for you. I will place you behind this desk one more time tomorrow. But tomorrow, you will be a different person because you're not going to only be an accountant, but you will be an accountant on behalf of Christ. You're not only going to be calculating investments for earthly treasures, but you will be calculating treasures for eternity. I will be able to help you calculate souls that you touch. And the treasures you're going to begin to amass here on earth will have an everlasting effect. It's not going to be eaten by moths. It's not going to be stolen by robbers. It's not going to corrode. But actually, the reimagined work that you're going to do will not only be valuable for this earth, but actually can transfer into the next world. Come and follow me. Allow me to reimagine what you do. Wow. Tall order. Now, on the aspirational part, we're all good. We would all aspire to follow such a leader that is going to make my labor count for eternity. Oh, by all means, count me and I'll follow you. Yet there is a catch. In order for you to follow me and for your labor to count for eternity, you have to shut business as you do it now. You have to live your nets down. You cannot work with this net anymore. You have no control over the net anymore. I have control, and I will tell you what lure to use. I will give you new nets, and I will send you after a different target. This is not going to be the focus. Those temporal, short-lived focuses, expectations, desires, things that really don't last long, they're not going to consume your time anymore. What's going to consume your time from here on is how you can make an impact on those around you for eternity. How you will add value to their lives for this life and for the one to come. And that doesn't look anything like what you're doing now. So my call to you is, if you want to become that sort of a fisherman, then lay down your nets and I will put new ones in your hand. Are you willing to do that? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Now Peter and his brother Andrew somehow saw the value of that invitation. And they immediately lay down their nets and followed Jesus. So now they have a different story to tell. And I called it the Fishers of Men story, where they were lost, Christ found them, and they said, I will hang the door on my door. I will shut the business as usual, and I will hang there the sign that says, gone fishing. But this time, I will go fishing for souls. And that, for Peter, was the fact that from then on shaped and formed his life. He died fishing for souls, and he impacted the history of Christian faith to the point that you and I get instructed by him daily when we open the Word of God and read his writings, or we read about his life, and he encourages us by what his example brought to us. So that is a success story. This is a fantastic answer to the call of God. When you're being called upon to follow me and you respond to God as, yes, I will lay down my nets. But you know what? I don't read much about another one that has been called upon to follow Christ. But he had a different answer from Peter's to that call. It is the same call, it just that it has a different answer. And I'd like for you, if you go to the next slide, Penny, I'd like for you to open Mark chapter 10, 22. In Mark 10, you will read about a story that you know equally well, and it is the story of the rich man. Do you know that story? How many of you really know the story of the rich man? Jesus didn't do anything different with the rich man. He issued the same call to that person. I only have a snippet of the story up there, and I'll go ahead and read that. But just to refresh your memory, the rich man came to Christ. And really, we call the story the rich man. I don't know the man. It was just a man that aspired to gain eternal life, to have eternal value in his life right now here on earth. And so Jesus by now is a public figure. They have heard him speak. They have seen the miracles around. So the community now knows who Jesus is. So this guy, who we label in our Bibles, you know, when you look at the subject matter, the rich man, okay? So this guy runs to Jesus as he's passing through his community. He goes there and says, Jesus, tell me something. What can I do to gain eternal life? How on earth can I grasp eternal value while I'm still here on earth? Very sincere seeker. You would say, actually, Peter wasn't seeking as much as this guy was. This guy was beyond the seeker, because when Jesus tells him, you know what, you first need to go to your scripture, okay, from the they had only Old Testament, and look at the commandments that God has given you and keep the commandments. And this rich man says this, Teacher, he declared, all this I have kept since I was a boy. And then Jesus looks at him and he really sees he's sincere and is not lying in his responses. And this is what Mark records. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Loved him, why? Because he really saw the guy is sincere and he has been trying with behavior to follow Jesus and add eternal value to his life. So Jesus looks at him and loves him and says, one thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. So much has been said about this particular passage, looking into the wealth, and of course Jesus himself, you know, comments on that, how difficult it is when somebody has amassed so much wealth that he cannot let go, cannot give control of the wealth to Jesus. But so much has been said about the control of wealth, but this is what I want to bring your attention to this morning with the scripture. What Jesus is actually saying to this guy who was already a seeker, who ran to Jesus, it wasn't the other way around. Jesus wasn't just walking and saying, hey, you there, I really see a potential. He actually ran to Jesus and said, I want to have eternal value. How do I gain eternal life? So as Jesus comes by him, and the guy is so involved in seeking after an eternal life with Christ, Jesus' answer was absolutely the same to the rich as to the poor. I'm putting Peter in a poorer category. I'm not saying it was very poor, but definitely not in the category of this guy. And Jesus says this. Whatever you have done so far in business, I'm saying close it. Close business as you have done it till now. Go now with what you have amassed, do something good with it. Go give it to the poor, give it to the poor. This way, that good deed really comes to heaven as glorifying deed before God, and it amasses some eternal value there. And as you have stopped, shut business as you've always done, and you laid control at my feet, then I'm telling you, come follow me. And then you will find out how you can gain eternal life. And this young man couldn't do that. That was too difficult. To close business as usual. To stop doing what he has been doing and have total control over what he has been doing and release control into Jesus' hands. This was too much. Jesus was asking of him too much, according to this young man. He became sad and withdrew from the company of Jesus. So I wonder, on his deathbed, this young man, now old, what was he thinking? And what were the thoughts that were running through his mind as he was looking at his life's journey? Was he happy that he has an amazing treasure on earth? That he had so much money in the bank that he could live three lives with it? Was he happy that his family was totally cared for? There was no hunger ever. They didn't go without food. They had adequate housing and servants and a great household and all the luxuries that go with it and all the chariots and carts they needed to do life in first century. Or did he look back at his life, at the end of his life, and saying, what if I have followed the invitation and I have taken Jesus at his word? Jesus told me that if I would sell all I have and I give it to the poor, I will already have sent treasures. I would have amassed treasure in heaven. And then, what could have been the outcome of me following Christ? The impact that I could have had on earth, on the people around me, what could that have looked like? Same call, two different people with two different answers. We read about the one that laid it all and followed Jesus and went fishing. Now this time not for fish, but really for souls. He gave up the nets he was working with and took the nets that Jesus supplied him with. And he began to cast net after net, until so many souls were caught that in one preaching, there were 3,000 added to the church, to the body of Christ. This is Peter. This is the influence and impact of Peter. And do you know how many more from there on? This same Peter that knew how to deal with the mess of the catch of fish. Jesus sent to deal with the mess of the catch of the Gentiles. Remember his dream? As God showed him a blanket coming from heaven full of unclean, what the Jews would consider unclean animals for food. And God told him, go ahead and eat. Kill, dress, prepare, eat. And Peter said, no way! I will never touch anything unclean. And God says, no, you will, because I have cleaned. It is my lost people out there, and I'm sending you to deal with the mess of the lost Gentiles. Are you ready, Peter? And Peter was saying, yes, for I have laid down my nets. You didn't cancel my past. You are using my past in my present, at a level that I was never going to be able to touch. Now I can impact the world because now I'm following your lead. Instead of me being in control, you are in control. And you have now made me fisherman of souls. Yet we don't read anything beyond this short description of this young man that refused the call of Jesus on his life. He decided that it is too difficult to close business as he knew it. And so he couldn't just release control. But I want to tell you this. It takes radical change in you to radically change the world. And if your focus remains on the temporal stuff, the fish instead of the soul, then you're still doing business as lost instead of found. So my question to you this morning is, are you ready to close business as usual and become fishers of men? See, this question, I carry deeply in my soul. Everywhere I go, every continent I lived on, every church I have served and had the privilege to join hands with a local body, I have asked myself, am I closing business as usual and releasing the leadership of that business to Jesus Christ so he can bring it back to me reimagined? Am I? And so, as I've been on staff here for now 3 years, that question has been one of the guiding principles as I have led together with the rest of the pastoral body here. So I want to tell you that we, as a corporate body, have addressed this question. And at the end of this service, I will give you the opportunity to respond to that question that I'm going to pose one more time to you. But I thought it would be of some significance to you to hear what is going on and how do we really go fishing in our own waters here in Southern Maryland and in our own county in St. Mary's and in our own area here around California, Maryland. So at this point, if I can have, you know, some of my helpers this morning that's going to come and share their testimonies with us, I would appreciate you. You're making your way to the stage. Those chairs might make sense to you in a little bit. Lost, found, and gone fishing. We have a journalist, a reporter, that's going to be conducting some interviews for us. And I hope as you are listening to all of that, you will find your place among what we are doing. Go ahead, Rachel.
Am I on? All right. So with the youth, we have been taking them out and meeting people. But to prepare, we ask God to let us know who he wants us to talk to. And so our first story here is going to tell us more about it. Can you let us know your name, your age, and how you're connected with our church?
I'm Natalie West. I am 12 years old, and I am a part of the youth group.
So, Natalie, how did you prepare in prayer for the county fair outreach?
Well, I did it for maybe like a couple days, and I just prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and just asked God to give me someone, and he did, and I was very happy.
And when we got together at the fairgrounds, did we also get together and pray for specifics?
We did. We got many specific things, and we found those, and it was such an amazing time.
And so how did this outreach to other people impact you and others?
It impacted me big time. I thought that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and I did, and it was just an amazing adventure to see people just coming to Christ.
Thank you. Switch to the sign. So, can you tell us your name, your age, and how you're connected to the church?
My name is Hunter Mashtair. I'm 15 years old, and I'm a part of Shofar.
Thank you. And so, Hunter, you went to an evangelistic event called Harvest. What did you do there?
Well, at Harvest, there was a lot of bands there. There was a speaker, and one of the things I actually did was I was a follow-up decision leader. And what we did is anybody that came up to give their life after the service, they would come up to me or any of the others, and they would get prayer after saying the, saving prayer. And they could come up, get a Bible, and I'd just pray over them, and it was really cool.
And you told me when we were talking that on the second day, who did you get to connect with?
I actually got to connect with one guy, and his youth group were actually going cross-country across America to do evangelistic work, and they stopped in Philly, which was where Harvest America was, just to get the youth fired up and get them prepared.
And so because of our lessons in Shofar on learning how to impact and connect with others and what we've been doing, how has these challenges taught you something?
What it's really taught me is just to see that a lot of people in the world either really need God or they really have a fire for Him, and deep down inside they actually really want Him. If they really don't want to admit it or not, they really want to see God move in their life no matter what they're going through.
Thank you. So, can you let us know who you are and how you're connected to our community?
She didn't ask how old I am. And I wasn't telling. Hey. A little stretch. My name is Alexia, and I oversee the real life portion of the church life model at church. Part of this is missions and outreach.
Okay. And so how has... Sorry, I have to get my questions. How has our church impacted or gone fishing in our world?
Well, as a church body, we do do the missions. We're all called to do outreach, and we're all called to the mission fields in some sense. So we do go out to missions, and we have prepared a slide with those ministries and missions that we are currently participating on funding. So there are several others that didn't fit in the slide, but that is our missional ministry support.
Thank you. And so that's our outreach locally and overseas. And what are some of the fishing opportunities have we done in our community?
Well, we do realize that the most impact that we can make in anyone's lives is through relationships. And we have had the opportunity to work in the community. Not necessarily is there an outreach team, but we get together and we minister on a needed basis as we do these outreaches. What we have done thus far, we have had a tradition of having the clothing drive, and we do the annual yard sale, which is a free sale. So we do reach the community in several ways, and we also were part of it was something that was placed in the heart of Svetlana and I to reach the community in a special way and meet needs. And this was a Park Hall Elementary School. And what we did there is we came to do support the families. The reality of it was that there's a need for jobs, and there's a need for job improvement in the area, so this school opened their hearts to us, and we were able to bring altogether, I would say, 20 somewhat volunteers to come and give the parents educational training. We taught them Microsoft Word. We taught them how to dress for success. We did mock interviews, so we were there to support the parents because we know that a happy parent, obviously a happy household, will produce happy children. And we do have some pictures of, this was a newspaper clipping that the Enterprise did. Of course, we put it into the slide, but we have some pictures of Master Shim. True blessing to those children. They loved it, and he taught them with honor. It was just, it's a beautiful thing to watch. If you've never watched him with children, it's something definitely to watch. And then we also had these little smiling faces. Now, this little girl on the individual slide, the one over to the right, she has a heart condition and was undergoing her third surgery. I think she's 5 years old, was undergoing a third surgery. And her and her mom do attend a local church here, but she did ask for prayer. We were able to interact and build a relationship in her life. When she was going to have the surgery, I wanted to be there and help her mom and sit with her mom. But the way that the schedule turned out, they changed her timing at the last moment. They changed her surgery. So her mom called me and told me, don't come. We've upped the time, and I just appreciate if you pray where you are. So when we do see each other around the community, this is something that they know, that they have a prayer support through us here.
And what else can we do using social media to impact others?
Well, social media is something that is obviously very current out there, and there's no reason why we as a community, as a church community and a church body, can't impact our world socially. We will be having a training towards the end of the month for anyone that would like to join that ministry. What we would like to do is be an encouragement. Of course, it's the World Wide Web. So what we want to be is a voice of encouragement and a voice of to provoke thought in our community, and that's something that is going to be new this year in the form in which we're going to address it. There's also going to be a couple of other events that will be available for. There is a mobile food drive that we have just been informed of. It's basically local farmers are going to be bringing fresh foods for our community. We will have these things posted on our event page in our website, and of course we will be announcing them in advance. So we do encourage that you participate. There's very many different levels of participation and commitment to this.
Thank you. So basically, for you guys, our listeners, the opportunity is asking God each day, even in when you're at Walmart, when you're in your office cubicle, it's just asking God each day, is there someone you want me to talk to today? Individually, you can go out and impact your world, your work world, or your school world, because I ask the kids, sorry, the teens. I also work with the little kids, and I ask them the same question. How has God can use you today? And are you willing to hear his voice and actually act on it?
Amen.
Thank you so much. You're looking at Alexia and Rachel, who have major parts to play in the outreach missional endeavors that we do here at our Father's house. But this is the truth. We impact the world one person at a time, and a personal relational engagement with someone is of utmost importance. This basically is your private impact on the world. But by the way, as a Christian, you're not a private anymore. You have been divinely, supernaturally connected into a body of believers. And regardless of the fact if you're together with them or not, Paul says that even when he's not with the believers he's writing to, he says, I'm there in spirit. I'm with you. And this is what a supernatural connection does. Christ has connected us in his body supernaturally to each other to make a difference in this world, to represent God, his attributes to this world. He says this, Jesus, in John 13:34. It is by the love that you have for each other that the world around you will know that you are my disciples. And that is the attractive factor. When the love begins to ooze out of who we are, of our community as believers, then those on the outside crave to have that sort of relationship. So this morning, we're going to have the opportunity to respond to the call of Jesus Christ. And my challenge is that every one of us would answer this question. Are you willing to close business as usual in all spheres of life and follow Christ in every sphere of life? Because I can tell you this, where we have been severely damaged in a particular area, we have no problem letting Christ reign there. Because we truly need healing. We need His direction. We have been so lost there in that area. We have made such a mess of that area that there is no problem me giving control on this area of my life. Let's say relationships are not my strong point. Relationships in general, relationships in the home. Let's say you find yourself in a place where it's estranged spouses live in a home. Or your kids and you don't get along at all. So you rush to give this area to God. But then areas where you perceive you're doing pretty good. You have a good handle on it. You go off. If something ain't broken, let's not fix it. And you are not willing to give that area to Christ. You're not willing to shut business as usual and allow Christ to reimagine this area of your life. Because I can tell you this. You could be doing fantastic in an area. For example, you could be a great investor, a great entrepreneur, and your money had always made money. And you started business after business. And most of them were successful. And you see how this whole thing mushrooms. And you know you have a good handle on things. And because you're not under stress, it hasn't even occurred to you that this is one area where Christ is calling you to give it all up. Allow Him to reimagine this area and make something out of this that's going to blow even your mind away. Because you have been successful and He can make you 10 times more successful with a purpose of stewarding all of that for the soul's value and eternal treasures. See, it's easy to give control in areas that we have very little control of. That's not asking much of you or me. But in the areas where we know we think best, we hold on to our nets real tight and we say, as I cast into the sea, I catch. Why on earth do I need to release that net? It's working pretty good for me. Jesus this morning is saying this. Unless I radically change every part of your life, you cannot radically impact others around you. Because it's only when we release how we do things in the flesh and we allow Him to re-envision how we should do things, we carry eternal value. Can we all get to our feet? I'm getting ready to challenge you this morning. I'm going to challenge myself as well. Nobody really gets out of here without a challenge, because I do believe this is a very challenging message. Follow me. Follow me is first issued to those of us that have never taken a step in the direction of Jesus Christ. And if you find yourself to be there, at that place, you don't know who Christ is in your life. He hasn't done a profound changing work in your heart. This is the time. The Word of God says, if you hear my voice today, don't close your heart. Open it to me, because today is an opportune day. So I want to invite all of you that has never walked with God so far, that don't know Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Lord of your life, to consider making a serious commitment for the rest of your life to follow God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Follow me will mean that you have to give up some things, but they're going to be replaced with eternal value things. And as Christ reimagines how you're going to do life, there is an abundance of blessing that you're going to start walking from now on. So at the end, those of you that don't know Christ, I'd like to see them personally. I will be right here hanging at the altar for a little bit. For the rest of us, we are somewhere on that journey walk with Jesus, and some have begun to follow him, and some have laid most of the areas of our lives at his feet, and we have given up, and then he has reimagined, and he has led us into doing certain things. But there are still areas in our lives, as he says to us, follow me. We are not necessarily willing to give that. And it's interesting how the Holy Spirit always has a word for us. In time, very pointed word. Before I even began to deliver any of that this morning, Peggy walked to me and said, "This is the vision I saw." And it has everything to do with the decision that you will be making this morning. This is my challenge to you. Are you ready to make a decision to give up all of the areas in your life and follow Christ? Allow him to reimagine your life so you can truly impact the world. And before Peggy shares that, I would like some of our prophetic team to come here and be able and ready to receive people as they come for prayer. Peggy, go ahead.
This morning, as Chris was leading us in worship, one of the songs we sang was free. We're free. Free to run, free to sing, free to dance. And in the midst of that, the Lord gave me a picture. It was like I was standing in a dark corridor. And at the end, there was an iron gate. And as we continued to worship, the gate opened. And what my impression was, what he was saying to me was, we are also free to choose. We're free to choose. If the Lord has laid something on your heart and you've decided to go a different way, or you've been diverted by something else, you're free to choose. He allows us to choose. But I think he wants us to ask him, what is the right thing to choose? What is it that he wants us to choose at this point in time?
This rich ruler, the young man that came to Jesus wanting to find eternal value, was free to choose, and he chose not to follow Christ, not to give control in all of the spheres of his life to Christ. How did his life end? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say anymore about him. But I'm asking you this morning, what would you choose? Would you follow Christ in reimagining how you live life so you can bring the most impact to this world around you? And if you would choose to follow Him, those areas that you still need to give up, and you know that they're there, and you haven't quite let go of the control, today's the day. Today's the day. So I want to give you the opportunity to respond to the Word of God. He is ready to send us out there to make an impact on this world right here, right around us. And He needs people that are changed so they can change. And I'm inviting you right now to just walk to the front. If you truly want to change the world and be an impactor for Christ, then allow Christ to impact every area of your life. Let loose. Give control, make the right choice. You're free to choose this morning. Those of you that don't know Christ, free to choose Him this morning. Those of you that Christ is calling to close certain things and to reopen them, reimagined by Him, free to choose. Make that commitment today to Him. Spend some time to seal the Word of God on your heart. Make that commitment. The altars are ready for you. The rest of you, the hospitality room is to the left for those of you that are here for the first time. I invite you to go there, and we have an orientation class that's going to be starting in about 15 or so minutes upstairs in the pastor's office. You're dismissed.